Well, we want to get the reaction of first the Jewish people, the Israelis, and then also the Palestinians. We'll do that when we talk to Itamar Marcus. But I want to go to Winky Madad in the center part of the state, a place called Shiloh. It's one of those Jewish communities in the area of Judea and Samaria. Winky, first out of the box, talk to me about the Israeli reaction to the meeting there at the White House.
Well, it depends what you mean by Israelis. If you mean the media establishment and some of the people in the opposition to the Likud-led government of Benjamin Netanyahu, they're a little bit shocked. They could not imagine that what happened was that there's a totally different atmosphere. I'm not going to get into details right now, but in terms of welcoming him, our prime minister, into the White House with both the First Lady and the president outside the door waiting. Someone must have reminded Mr. Trump that about 7 years ago or so, Mr. Netanyahu was escorted through the back door without any media coverage whatsoever. So this made up for that. I think their body language, I think their banter, I think their conversation was obvious that it's a whole different level of cooperation, understanding, and commitment. And I think they said that in their prepared remarks and in some of the answers to the questions. So I'm very happy. I think a lot of Israelis are happy, even those who are a bit chagrined of the political indications from those conversations yesterday.
You know, it's very interesting to me to see exactly how these two men would interact to each other. They've known each other for a long time. In fact, I think Prime Minister Netanyahu brought that out. In fact, he has known his President Trump's son-in-law from the time he was a little boy, and that kind of got personal when they were having their press conference, their joint press conference. I thought this was great. Total, as you said, a total different atmosphere than it was for the last 8 years. Would you not agree?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the failings of those people who call themselves either liberal, left, or progressive is the possibility that really doesn't occur to them, not that they could be wrong, but that something else could happen outside their world. They're completely contained within their created universe, and I'm talking also on personal, psychological, and the political levels of which they act, that they cannot understand that the White House would not be that critical, that the administration would look at Mr. Netanyahu as a friend rather than simply as an ally, as Mr. Obama used to say, or something like that, or not lie to Israel by saying that we have your back or no daylight, and then they canceled the Bush letter of 2004, which recognized the blocks of the communities because of the disengagement. And other elements, or Hillary Clinton screaming at Netanyahu for 45 minutes overnight during a certain conversation they had on Jerusalem construction of homes. So they got very used to the fact that they're in charge, quote-unquote, and all of a sudden it turns out that another administration is in power.
It's very, very interesting. Now, Winky, as I listened to the press conference live there on Wednesday, I'm not sure that both of these leaders agreed on everything, but they're at least willing to sit down and talk and see if they can talk it out.
Well, I would agree with you that, look, Mr. Netanyahu came very quickly to Washington, relatively speaking. I think he's, the sixth or seventh prime minister or president to come in, as is usual. And at these meetings, they usually sort of preliminary deal with some of the major issues. And Netanyahu is sure that he has a lot of support from the president, a lot of support from the Republican Congress on major issues that look a little bit more, shall we say, problematic here in Israel. I'm talking about the Jewish communities across the Green Line and other issues. And Netanyahu is still fixed on Iran and some other issues which were alluded to in terms of a regional solution. Anybody who's been following Mr. Netanyahu has been saying that we have African nations and Arab nations that have come on, and it's a whole different ball game between Saudi Arabia being scared of Iran and Egypt being scared of the Sinai ISIS terror, and all coming into the orbit of Israel, and he's looking at the bigger picture. There was one question on the Jewish communities and construction in which Mr. Trump said something of the nature of, I want you to hold back a little bit. So I don't know what hold back means. I don't know what a little bit means. But I'm sure that very shortly that will be resolved also.
Yeah, and would that go back and refer to that written communique that George Bush sent to Ariel Sharon when Ariel Sharon was the prime minister? You can't, please don't add any new settlements, but everything within the boundaries of the now settlements, go ahead and expand and take care of the needs of those who are coming along and these communities growing. Is that probably where they're going to go?
That's probably where they're going to go. It was reneged on, that commitment. And I want to stress to you that this, maybe for our listening audience in the United States, can understand the problem here. That letter, on all of its elements, was given in order to convince Mr. Sharon to go ahead with the disengagement. Now, the disengagement happened. 8,000 Jews were kicked out of their homes. Everything was destroyed. The Arabs took over, and the missiles continued at a greater rate. We've had three relatively minor plus major minus conflicts on our Gaza southern border. And all of a sudden, the Obama administration turns around and reneges on the letter. So we were left high and dry on that element, and we felt very, very betrayed, I'd even to use the word, on that commitment. We don't want that to happen with the new administration. So I think conversations on exactly how clear and how detailed it will be forthcoming.
You know, I thought one of the unbelievable things that came out of this gathering, this summit at the White House, was that Donald Trump, the president, said, well, I don't care if you want a two-state solution, one-state solution, whatever you guys want, I'm willing to work with it. What about the one-state solution? How are the Israelis responding to that?
Well, look, Jimmy, first of all, let's remind our audience that the two-state solution has been an official American policy probably since Clinton, if not before. Okay? That was a sort of adopted as an official policy. It hasn't worked in over 20 years. And not because of Israel not withdrawing, which it did. Not because of Israel agreeing to Oslo Accords, which it did. Because of the Palestinian side, we won't get into that now. Now, in any mathematical problem, if something doesn't work, you try another formula. If you're a builder and you can't build the building you want, so do it some way else. The same thing with diplomacy. If the two-state solution isn't working, try something else. The one-state solution, as a friend of mine published in the New York Times yesterday or the day before, could be a variety of options. There could be federation with Jordan. They could once again become Jordanian citizens living in, they don't have to be expelled, transferred, or moved, stay where they are, but they vote for the Jordanian parliament. There could be autonomy, the old solution of Menachem Begin. There are various levels in between. It doesn't mean that Israel will be in any sort of a threat one way or another, or the Arabs who call themselves Palestinians will not have any sort of self-government in a very strong level.
You know, I thought that may well be the first volley of the Trump negotiating to bring some type of a coexistence and a resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Throw it out there. They start talking about it. Arab League rejects it. Hamas rejects it. PLO rejects it. But it may be the starting point for negotiations. Well, the two things they did agree on would have to be the threat that Iran is not only to Israel and the United States, the entire Middle East, but also Islamic State. They agreed totally on those two issues, did they not?
It seems that they did, Jimmy. And look, the people behind Mr. Trump understand that, to quote the title of a book from the 1980s, if I'm not mistaken, there is a clash of civilizations, and those people who refuse to acknowledge this will, of course, do anything they can to stop the Trump administration's policies on a variety of issues, which I won't get into now. But on the issue of the Middle East, the fact that the Obama administration undercut Egypt, scared Saudi Arabia with its Iranian, betrayed the Syrians, hundreds of thousands of people, I understand, are dead because of Mr. Obama's lack of red line gumption, if I can use that word. This is America's fault in a certain sense, and they have to take the responsibility. It's a big problem for Mr. Trump to write again. besides the Iran deal, which we both of us already mentioned. And it'll take some time. It also takes some forceful measure of getting Congress in line and getting people to understand what's actually happening on the ground here on all sorts of issues dealing with immigration or other issues. If unchecked, you will have terrorist attacks because it happened in Europe. Don't call yourself blind on this issue. And I hope that that also Mr. Trump dealt with when he talked about Israel's security needs, because Israel's security needs also come and bounce on America's security needs as well, because it's a very large picture.
Well, I can tell you, you brought up a book. Let me bring up another book, the Bible. It guarantees what's going to be the end result, the bottom line, as far as this Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the entire Middle East. Now, you have to agree with that, buddy, don't you?
I do agree with it, and I hope people understand the book on all its books and follow through, because there is nothing really better to guide a person in his affairs on earth to know that he has some sort of assistance and understanding and comprehension of the person up above.
Amen. The one in the heavenlies, in charge of everything still. Winky Medad, our good friend, great broadcast partner. I had to go. I told Winky, look, I know I've been using you almost every week, but I had to go to you after this meeting there at the White House for your analysis. Winky, thank you so very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again real soon.
Jimmy, thank you for having me on, and goodbye to you and our listeners.